Welcome back to the Georgia Chamber Podcast. This is your host, Kayla Robertson, and I'm very excited to bring you the first episode of the Session Series, where our Director of Government Affairs, Katie Duvall, and I will bring you weekly updates and insights from under the Gold Dome. Katie, thank you so much for agreeing to do this with me. Before we jump into today's episode, do you want to take just a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Kayla. I'm excited to be here. My name is Katie Duvall, and I'm Director of Government Affairs here at the Georgia Chamber of Commerce. Been here for about 18 months, and in my role, I cover the areas of taxation and economic development, transportation, and energy and environment.
So it's the second year of a biennial session, so there are several important issues still on the table from last year. But before we get into those policies, let's give our listeners just a little recap of some of the legislation that came out of last session.
Sure. Last year, our staff tracked more than 350 bills during the 2023 legislative session to promote job creation and economic growth in the state. And our Government Affairs Council, which is composed of about 400 lobbyists representing the business community, designated which of these bills received Georgia Chamber's support, oppose, or scorecard positions. At the end of last session, we tallied 7 scorecard bills, 4 opposed bills, and 44 support bills. The Senate had a 77% passage rate, and the House had a 100% passage rate in their respective scorecards. There were a number of bills that we tracked, like I mentioned, but I'll highlight a few of those just for our listeners today. Prior to the 2023 session, Governor Kemp announced his intention of providing individual income and property tax relief to taxpayers. House Bill 162 allowed for those who have paid and filed taxes for the past 2 years to be eligible for an income tax refund, the amount of which depended on their filing status. Additionally, House Bill 18, or the amended FY23 budget, provided a refund of $950 million in property taxes back to homestead owners. Another bill that we worked on was House Bill 383 by Representative Matt Reeves. Also known as the Safer Hospitals Act, House Bill 383 allows for hospital campuses to employ their own post-certified police force, similar to our state's colleges and universities. It also strengthens the penalties for assault and battery against the healthcare workers that are so vital to our communities. House Bill 227 by Representative Rob Leverett was another bill of significance to our business community, and the chamber worked alongside our utility partners on this bill, which enhances criminal penalties for those who cause intentional damage to our state's critical infrastructure, including electricity, water and sewer, natural gas, telecommunications, and agriculture, all of which are fundamental to our state's success. Transportation, especially the electrification of transportation, has been a hot topic over the past few years in the Georgia legislature. And during the summer of 2022, the chamber and our affiliate, the Georgia Transportation Alliance, worked closely with the Joint Study Committee on the Electrification of Transportation, chaired by Senator Steve Gooch and Representative Rick Jaspers. Due to the hard work of this study committee, Senate Bill 146 was signed into law following the 2023 session. As the state and nation continue to move towards an alternative fuel market, Senate Bill 146 provides a roadmap of regulatory and trade practices for electric vehicle mobility in the state. I could touch on every single one of our bills, but we would be here till next session. So I'll highlight a couple others, other pieces of legislation of significance. Expand the state's minority supplier program to include women and minority-owned businesses. Extending the sunset on tax exemptions on projects of regional significance. Increasing access to our technical colleges, promoting literacy resources for our future workforce, and providing pay raises for law enforcement and other state employees.
Okay, so you just touched on some of the chamber's scorecard bills. So before we go any further, can you just explain what that process looks like and how our team determines what the scorecard bills will be?
Sure, that's a great question. Everything that we do at the Capitol is a reflection of our Government Affairs Council and their positions that they would like to see taken. We don't take positions based on our staff preferences. We operate fully through the Government Affairs Council, and they come to us with bills they would like to either see supported or opposed. We can then make those bills scorecard bills. Again, this is all based on the desires of our membership. So we go through a whole process to do that, and that helps us to determine which bills we will, like I said, support, oppose, or make scorecard bills. And like I said, would not be possible without the input of our Government Affairs Council.
So similar to that process, we conduct an executive insight survey each year that helps us understand the issues that are most important to our members. And overwhelmingly last year, the number one issue that executives said their companies were facing was talent. So we made significant progress last year in workforce preparedness initiatives and access to education. But what issues are we hearing the most about this year from our members?
Talent continues to be a top priority for our members, so we'll continue working with the General Assembly on workforce policies for our state. One issue particularly important to the workforce shortage issue is in access to housing. Home ownership is a vital wealth generation tool, and right now we're seeing home ownership rates decline throughout the state.
So before we talk about solutions to housing access, I think it's important to understand why we're seeing the housing availability decrease. What are some of the factors that are causing this?
Increasing interest rates are a large part of it. Many first-time homebuyers simply can't afford to make payments on a mortgage with a 6 to 7% interest rate. Also, builders either aren't able or aren't willing to build affordable homes with current interest rates. This is a federal policy issue, but there are some solutions we're working on at the state level, including removing outdated and burdensome local zoning regulations and increasing access to saving programs for first-time homebuyers.
And I know the Chamber and the GAC has partnered with some other organizations throughout the state on this issue. Who are some of those players?
I know we've been working closely with ACCG and GMA, as well as a number of other organizations interested in seeing this crisis solved.
So we're going to continue to focus on housing and talent. What other issues are important to us this year?
Transportation is another issue that we'll be focusing on this year. We've seen record economic growth in every corner of our state. As you know, we're the number one state to do business for 10 years running. And ensuring that our transportation infrastructure is able to withstand the increase in demand it's going to experience will be incredibly important to our continued economic success. The Georgia Chamber, the Georgia Transportation Alliance, and the entire business community will continue the effort to develop long-term strategies to improve supply chain management through statewide freight and logistics funding. Projections show that by the year 2050, demand for freight flow in Georgia will increase by 92%. It's vital that we take measures now to prepare our infrastructure to meet that demand. Several opportunities to create technology and horizontal solutions must be a priority for 2024 and beyond. Without this innovation and investment, Georgia citizens will face growing delays and unsafe motorways.
I know that all of us who are commuting back and forth to Atlanta every day will very much appreciate any sort of solution to the traffic issue, but what other legislative solutions are we hoping to see for infrastructure?
We're hoping to see a pretty significant fiscal investment approved in that freight and logistics line, as I mentioned. GDOT has released a report that lays out a plan to invest $1.5 billion annually over the next 30 years or so to secure our infrastructure. So we will continue to work through the Georgia Chamber and the Georgia Transportation Alliance with GDOT and other organizations to make sure that we can secure this funding in 2024 and beyond.
If you've been keeping up with the issue, you know that the General Assembly and the Governor's Office spent last summer reviewing Georgia's long list of economic incentives. Protecting these incentives and ensuring that we remain competitive nationally and globally is going to be a chamber priority this session. Can you provide any insight into where the General Assembly stands on these tax incentives?
Sure. I am so fortunate to get to cover tax issues for the chamber. So I got to spend my summer attending six of our study committee meetings. Back in March, Governor Kemp, Lieutenant Governor Jones, and Speaker Burns announced the creation of a joint study committee to review all of the state's tax incentives. As I said, over the summer, we met about six times across the state to discuss a variety of these incentives that have helped to bring business to the state of Georgia. Over the summer, the chamber conducted an internal tax task force to evaluate these incentives and discern which are top of mind to our members. And these incentives have been a critical tool in our toolbox and have strengthened our ability to attract and retain record-breaking investment. So we want to do the most that we can to secure those incentives and make sure that we continue to be a great state in which to do business. Rural communities in particular rely on these policies to level the playing field against unfavorable federal tax policy and a growing focus of other states to offer more lucrative incentives to attract expansions and new businesses and to bolster small businesses. As I've mentioned multiple times, Georgia is the number one state in which to do business, and this would not be possible without the incentives that have been provided to bring business and industry to the state.
Finally, I want to talk to you about tort reform. Governor Kemp announced at our congressional luncheon last August that civil justice reform is going to be a top priority for his administration in this session. There's been a larger discussion among the business community and other stakeholders about what those potential reforms might look like. But just to give our listeners a better understanding, can you just give us a quick overview of what tort reform even is for those who are listening that may not know and how it impacts our business community and our citizens here in the state?
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, we had a number of bills that saw wins last session that But we also saw a few issues fall short, and I would say tort reform was the most heartbreaking of those issues. Georgia's legal climate has consistently been ranked among the worst in the nation because of runaway jury verdicts and a lack of simple reforms bringing the state in line with others across the country. That abuse has resulted in higher insurance rates and fewer doctors in our most disadvantaged communities. Moving into the 2024 session, lawsuit, or more commonly known as tort reform, will be our number one priority, and the Chamber will continue to work to pursue a more fair and balanced legal environment to provide much-needed relief to Georgia's small business owners and families.
I think when you think about tort reform or any sort of legal issue, you don't really understand it unless you've been in the courtroom, right? But when you think about insurance rates going up for Georgia families and how it impacts the medical field and our healthcare system, it hits a lot closer to home because you realize that it impacts individual Georgia families and not just the business community. Thank you, Katie. I know that our government affairs team will be hard at work over at the Capitol on all of these issues. So make sure you tune in next Friday for another episode of the Session Series. Thanks, Katie.